40 years ago, the communication gap between kids and parents was encapsulated in 6 minutes of a Bob Dylan song.
Once upon a time, you dressed so fine, threw the bumps of dime in your prime. Then you, people call, say, beware, doll, you're bound to fall, you thought they were all kidding you. About everybody that was hanging out. Now you don't talk so loud. Now you don't seem so proud about having to be scrounging your next.
Gabriel Marcus has just published a new book about what he calls the greatest pop single ever made. It's called Like a Rolling Stone, Bob Dylan at the Crossroads. If you have questions about this song, how it was made, or its impact, our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. You can also send us an email at totn@npr.org. Gabriel Marcus joins us from a studio on the campus at the University of California at Berkeley. Thanks very much for being with us.
It's great to be here.
It seems like a crime to fade that song down, even to get to this interview.
Absolutely. That's just what I was thinking when I heard that fanfare come on those first few moments. No matter how many times I've heard that song, it's new, it's different. You can't wait to hear what comes next.
One of the points you make about this song and about Dylan in general as a composer, as a lyricist, he never used, you know, the fad expressions of the day, the catchphrases. Everything was timeless.
Well, not exactly. He occasionally had those moments of laziness, of falling into the catchphrases of the day. There's a moment in Like a Rolling Stone where he says he wasn't really where it's at. And that leaves a little hole in the song. But the song is so big, it kind of swallows up that hole.
You're right. You hear that phrase, where it's at. Suddenly you see Alfie, and I'm talking about the Michael Caine version.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But there's very little in that song, if anything else, that dates it. It's not as if that's what songs sounded like on the radio in 1965. Nothing sounded like that before, and nothing's really sounded like it since.
I wanted to ask you about the word crossroads that you use in the title of the book. Now, a lot of people are going to remember that this was the moment when Bob Dylan went electric, when he transformed himself from folk Bob to rock star Bob. But you point to this as a transition of another sort as well, that he was going from songs about some of which he wasn't particularly interested in singing anymore, to a new kind of song that he desperately cared about.
Well, the fact is, Sean Wilentz, who's a historian at Princeton, a friend of mine, he and I were riding in a taxi in New York City last fall, and I'm struggling over what to call this book, and I don't know what to call it, and nobody likes my title, and I don't like the publisher's title. And I said to him, what should I call this thing? He said, you call it Like a Rolling Stone, Bob Dylan at the Crossroads. And I said, okay. And I took it to the publisher, and they said, oh, that's great. How did you ever think of that? And I said, well, actually. And you know that the metaphor of the crossroads, it can mean what you just described. It can mean simply somebody realizing that his life is going to change. The world is changing. Now it's a question of which way do you go? Do you have the guts? Do you have the strength or the imagination to think in a new way? In Bob Dylan's case, to sing and write in a new way. And of course, it echoes that story of Robert Johnson or other blues singers from the 20s and 30s. At the crossroads, having to make a question of whether they're going to commit their lives to the blues and really a life of self-destruction, loneliness, and wandering, or if they'll turn their backs and go home and settle down and disappear into the anonymous life that most of us live.
And that road that goes through the crossroads that Robert Johnson stood at runs to Minnesota.
You bet it does. You know, as a Bob Dylan fan, when I first turned my car onto Highway 61, the album that Like a Rolling Stone begins, Highway 61 Revisited, I expected visions to come flooding down. I'd never heard of Highway 61 when I bought that record. It never occurred to me it was an actual road that people drove on to get from one place to another.
I always thought it was a metaphor, yeah, but go ahead.
Well, it is a metaphor. It goes from the Canadian border to the Gulf of Mexico. It divides the country right down the middle, and it says, okay, go west. Do you have the nerve? Scurry back east if you don't. All those questions are there.
I'm going back to New York City. I do believe I've had enough. That's on that song, that record, yeah. Let's get some listeners involved in this conversation. We're talking with Greil Marcus about his new book about Bob Dylan and the song Like a Rolling Stone. If you'd like to join us, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is totn@npr.org. Art's on the line with us from Sonoma County in California.
Hi. Great
Hi.
Show. What do you have to say about the organ playing in the song?
The organ playing is the most accidental part of Like a Rolling Stone, and in some ways the most important. Al Kooper, who plays organ, was never supposed to be on that session.
Exactly.
He kind of snuck his way into the studio, sat down behind the organ where no one was sitting, and by the time the producer noticed he was there, they'd already begun to work out an arrangement. When they get to the take of the song that actually was released, the one that we all know, Al Kooper has begun to shape it. He, in the background, is giving a really chaotic, cataclysmic kind of noise. He's tracing roads in it that the listener, consciously or subconsciously, can follow. And then there's that astonishing moment after the third chorus when it seems as if he's found himself in the middle of the animal's House of the Rising Sun, and he's shooting out in all directions. And that road that he's opened up for people to follow is now going in every direction itself. And he has brought the chaos of everyone else into himself, but not until he was able to give the song the shape it absolutely had to have.
You put it beautifully. Al Kooper had a lot of chutzpah. And
yeah.
He was one of the founding members of Blood, Sweat, and Tears. I had the privilege of seeing him in the 60s in the Village. And he's got a great double CD out now called Rare and Well Done. And you can get a phenomenal sense of what he's about as a musician and a creator of music.
That's a great recommendation.
Art, thanks very much for the call.
My pleasure.
And by the way, if you'd like to hear the full track, if you don't have it completely memorized, you can listen to it at our website, npr.org. You can also read Greil Marcus's account of the recording of Like a Rolling Stone there and see some photographs from the recording session. One of the things that fascinated me is, as I mentioned earlier, this is something that unless you were more or less an adult at the time, you really can't understand, but this enormous controversy about Bob Dylan going electric. And we'll get to the import of that a little bit later, but this was something he had to know was going to be controversial, to say the very least, and he seems to have given it what he rehearsed in terms of the band a couple of days with Mike Bloomfield and then told Mike to go into the session and tell the musicians what to play. He didn't want to tell him anything.
Well, you know, I think that's his strategy in recording. Get someone between you and the other people. But in fact, it didn't work. They went into the studio, Bob Dylan, Mike Bloomfield, both very young men, and a studio filled with the most seasoned, the most experienced session musicians in New York, some of them quite middle-aged, some of them, you know, lots older than Bob Dylan or Mike Bloomfield, people who can play anything and will. And Mike Bloomfield is running around saying, you know, this is a diminished seventh, and here's what we do on the bridge, and just speed rapping through all this musical notation. And what's fascinating when you listen to each take as the session goes on is that the musicians utterly ignore him. Who's this kid? They're paying no attention at all. So Bob Dylan is forced sitting there at the piano banging on the thing to try and arrange it himself, because the strategy he came in with isn't working. The musicians aren't responding. He's got to teach the song to them, and it's exactly what he didn't want to do. He wanted to be insulated because, in fact, Like a Rolling Stone was not anything that was very well worked out, and it never got worked out until they found it. So it's more a question of people trying to find a song than simply to set it forward. And so that sense of discovery and that sense that you might not find it, that everything is in doubt, is a lot of what went into the music and why the music seems so new right now.
We're talking with Greil Marcus about his new book, Like a Rolling Stone, Bob Dylan at the Crossroads. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get another caller on. Amy. Amy's calling from Denver, Colorado.
Hi, Neil.
Hi.
My comment happens to be not of the positive nature. God bless you for writing a book, and I hope you sell some copies, but I really have to disagree with you that that's the greatest pop song ever written, and here's my reason why. Personally, I think that to say that is really relative, and it's relative to a lot concerning a generational thing. I think if you were to go to any Generation X person, they certainly would disagree that that's the greatest pop song ever written. And probably the generations today. Every generation has their own niche of music, and Bob Dylan certainly wasn't one of mine, and nor was Like a Rolling Stone. I think it's, in a lot of ways, a lot of Bob Dylan and Bob Dylan-type music is kind of like an Art Nouveau movie, you know, where critics don't necessarily understand it, but they write a good review because it seems like the cool thing to do. So I'll take my comments off the air.
Okay, Amy, thanks for the call.
Thanks.
You know, I don't actually say anywhere, and I don't believe that Like a Rolling Stone is the best pop song ever written. Bob Dylan's written a lot better songs as songs that are written. But as an event taking place in pop music, that still sounds like an event, something that starts when it begins and ends when it ends, and you say, who was that masked man? Did that really happen? There's nothing to compare it to. I would like to know what an Art Nouveau movie is. I'm a little stumped by that one.
Let's talk now with Sheila. Sheila's in Duluth, Minnesota.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm calling from Duluth, and I just thought you would like to know I'm looking out my window at Highway 61. And right at this moment. It's right out in front of the house where I'm living.
And how does it look today?
It's got a lot of traffic on it, actually. Lots of people drive up and down between Duluth and up to Two Harbors, and you know, a lot of people drive between the two places.
And when they do that, I assume for the past 40 years, it's hard to do that without every once in a while thinking about Bob Dylan.
Well, I certainly think about him a lot, okay? But I do know that there is nothing here named after him.
He was born here
and lived here until he was 6 years old. And I've driven by his house. It's painted a sort of peach colored now or something like that, the house where he lived for the first 6 years. But every time somebody comes up with the idea of naming something in this town, there are people who refuse to do it, okay?
Hmm.
But there is one neat thing happening here in this town, and that is that the original armory, which, like old armories in a lot of towns, is falling apart and needs a lot of repair. A group of people have gotten together to make sure that it doesn't get torn down, because that is where Bob Dylan, in the fall of 58, I believe, heard Buddy Holly sing.
Hmm.
And so every time people talk about saving that building, people do mention, well, one of the reasons we have to save it is because Dylan heard Buddy Holly in that building.
You know, I think it was the third to last show Buddy Holly ever played before the plane crash in which he died.
Right.
And as
right.
Bob Dylan tells a story that night, he says, Buddy Holly looked right at me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this little kid in the audience, and Buddy looked right at me. I've always taken that as this mystical moment of transmission when Buddy Holly passed the secret of rock and roll to Bob Dylan, which Bob Dylan, I think, has yet to pass on in a similar way, but
right.
one of these days maybe he will.
Kind of like John Kennedy shaking Bill Clinton's
hand, you bet.
Right, right,
you bet.
Exactly. Okay. And then the other thing I might as well throw in, okay, I'm not originally from Duluth. I'm originally from Moorhead, Minnesota, which, of course, was where Buddy Holly was supposed to play when his plane went down in Iowa. He was flying into the airport in Fargo, but he was going to play at the Armory in my hometown, Moorhead.
Boy, you are really in a matrix of danger.
Oh, absolutely.
And
absolutely, yes. Yes, right.
Well, you were there, Greil Marcus, at a couple of momentous, we just have 30 seconds left, but tell us briefly, you saw Bob Dylan be introduced professionally by Joan Baez.
Well, I went to see a Joan Baez show in New Jersey in the summer of 63. In the middle of it, she says, I want to introduce a friend of mine. This guy comes out. His shoulders are hunched. He's looking at the ground. He sings With God on Our Side. And that was the last time I ever thought about Joan Baez.
Sheila, thank you very much for the phone call. We appreciate
okay.
it.
Okay. Yeah, it's wonderful to hear this, and I look forward to reading the book.
Okay.
Mm-hmm,
the book, by the way, is Like a Rolling Stone, Bob Dylan at the Crossroads, An Explosion of Vision and Humor That Forever Changed Pop Music. Its author is Greil Marcus, who joined us today from the campus at the University of California, Berkeley. Thanks very much.
It was a great pleasure.
And good luck with the book.
Thank you.
In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News. Like a Rolling Stone.